السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
أبا يوسف، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخنا.
Can we start our class?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Today inshallah our class shall be regarding Ramadan and our activity in Ramadan. And as we had mentioned earlier, one of the most common thing we all get busy with in Ramadan, second only to the fasting itself, is Qira'atul Quran. The only thing that comes after the fasting itself that we get most busy with in Ramadan, commonly amongst the people, is Al-Quran. And that is because the month itself is the month of Quran. Why? One of the reasons for naming it or calling it the month of the Quran is that it is the month in which the Quran is mostly recited than all other months. And that is well understood because we take it from the fact that the Quran, like Allah told us in the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. And we explained what it means that the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Jumlatan wahida. The single book, it came down. Then there are other places in which the Quran mentioned that that coming down of the Quran occurred in Laylatul Qadr. So Ramadan is called the month of Ramadan again because even in the Quran, Allah connects it to it. It's the Shahru Ramadan, Alladhi Unzila Fihi al-Quran. So this makes it such that many of us, many of our brothers, our sisters, the women, the children, all over the world, we get very, very busy with the Quran. We pay a lot of attention to the Quran. So our discussion, inshallah, today will be about paying attention to the Quran. How we pay attention to the Quran. One of the scholars was explaining this matter, and he said, paying attention to the Quran, tilawatul Quran, reading the Quran, and following the Quran has three major forms under which the bulk of the duties we have regarding the Quran will collapse. The bulk of the rest of the duties we have regarding the Quran will all come under these three things that he counted. And upon good contemplation, we find out everything you want to do regarding the Quran will fall under three categories. He calls the first one Tilawatul Alfaz. Tilawatul Alfaz. Reading and following the wordings and the expressions of the Quran. Reading and following the wordings and the expressions of the Quran. So you can say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and that is the first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha al-Sahih. Inshallah, we'll come back to that. We can say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, and then we go on reading the Quran. So he refers to these as Tilawatul Alfaz. We are reading the wordings of the Quran and the expressions of the Quran. This is the basic attention in this aspect of paying attention to the Quran. Now, this aspect of paying attention to the Quran is what we mostly engage in Ramadan. Many of us will read the Quran. Many of us will listen to a person reading the Quran. This also falls under Tilawatu Alfazil Quran. Following the wordings and the expressions of the Quran. It is in the month of Ramadan, most of us, after reading the Quran, we also look for a very good reciter to listen to. In fact, because we want a good reciter, in many of the masajid, they look for a good reciter to lead Salatul Taraweeh. Why? They want to listen to the alfaz of the Quran. The people want to listen to the Quran being read. They want to hear the wordings and the expressions of the Quran beautifully presented. So listening to the Quran also falls under tilawatul alfaz. Likewise, making muraja'a of the Quran. Many of us become very busy outside Ramadan, so much that even the parts of the Quran that we had memorized, they go off our minds. And that is something that is very bad, no doubt. But in Ramadan, we try to bring them back. So it's not just about reading the Quran. We read the Quran. We listen to the Quran. We make muraja'a of the Quran. We also, after all of these, we want to make dua, because of course, tilawatul Quran is a big ibadah, is a big worship. We want to make dua, making our recitation of the Quran as a means of reaching Allah with our dua. That is as a means of at-tawassul. So after recitation of the Quran, many of us, we raise our hands, we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. So these are what we do, and all of these will come under what the Sheikh referred to as tilawat wal fazil Quran, reading and following the wordings and the expressions of the Quran. So reading the Quran comes under that, memorizing the Quran comes under that, listening to the Quran comes under that, and all of that. And this tilawatu al-fazil Quran is a very, very rewarding thing. We all know the hadith. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us in an authentic hadith that the one who recites the Quran gets 10 rewards for every harf of the Quran. I'm not saying that alif lam mim is 10 rewards. He cleared it alayhi salatu wasalam. He said alifun harfun. Alif itself is one harf. You get 10 rewards, sorry. Lamun 10. Mimun 10. So when you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, how many times occur in this? And how many times will occur by the time you finish Suratul Fatiha? How many times of these huruf will come by the time you finish Suratul Baqarah? So it's a very, very interesting thing that all of us like to do. In Ramadan, we all like to do it. We earn a lot of rewards from Tilawat wal Fazil Quran in Ramadan. But this Tilawat wal Fazil Quran, we should take two things together with it so that we can earn the rewards that we anticipate. We should take two things with it. Without these two things, those rewards will go away. May Allah protect all of us. Many of us would have recited, today is the fifth day of Ramadan, or the fourth day of Ramadan, the fifth day of Ramadan. By the end of iftar today, we would have made five fasts. So many of the brothers, I'm sure, would have had at least five ajza of Quran, because we got used to reading one juz every day. And likewise, in the various masajid, many of the brothers who lead salawat in taraweeh, in masajid, they read juz one day, one juz one day, even though many of the scholars say this is an action that lacks a proof. And it is something we do repeatedly. We should not have an act of worship that we do repeatedly and then becomes a general practice, and then there is no proof to say this is how it should be done. And the proof is what is in the Quran and the Sunnah, and alladhi jara alayhi amalu salafi salih, something that the companions and those after them all got used to. But to say it must be one juzu every day or one hizbu every day, and it becomes like that, like something that's established in the Sunnah, is not a good thing at all. So we can alter it sometimes. You can make it half, you can make it full, you can, so that it does not become as if you are doing something that is upon the Sunnah. But what we are trying to say is that as much as we would have read the Quran, making tilawatu al-fazil Quran, two things are there that when we don't bring these two things in our tilawa of the wordings and the expressions of the Quran, I fear that we may not get any other than the time that we have spent on it. May Allah forgive all of us. The first one is Al-Ikhlas. Reciting it for the sake of Allah alone. Allah told us this in the Quran. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. We have not been commanded to do any other than that we direct worship to Allah alone, mukhlisi, while worshiping Allah, ikhlas must be established. Your recitation must not be for any other than for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am directing this worship to Allah. Some of the ulama say when the messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam, that man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, they say one of the meanings of imanan is that you believe that it is Allah that has commanded you to fast in Ramadan and that you are directing this worship of fasting to Allah alone. So as far as tilawatul Quran is concerned, we believe that it is Allah and His Messenger who have both encouraged us and approved that we should make tilawatul al-fadhil Quran, and then it must not be for the sake of any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is imanan. So when we recite the Quran, we must make sure that we are doing it for the sake of Allah. We do it and we expect that Allah alone will reward us. We do it, we expect that we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to do something that He likes. Not because your neighbors should hear your recitation and become enticed with it, or for any other purpose, or a purpose of seeking paltry worldly gains with our reciting the Quran. This one will fall away from ikhlas, and the deeds that are not from the deeds of ikhlas will not be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any good rewards. The rewards for making deeds that are not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negative. There are many verses in the Quran regarding this. But the point of reference here is that we must be sure that our tilawa of Quran, our tilawa of Quran must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The second one is that we must make tilawa of the Quran following the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And as far as the tilawa of the Quran is concerned, one major thing we all must pay attention to, easily people can forget it, is that our recitations must be upon tajweed. لِأَنَّهُ بِهِ الْإِلَهُ أَنْزَلَ. Because Allah has not revealed the Quran except that it is a Quran that is mujawwad, is a Quran that has come with tajweed. بِهِ الْإِلَهُ أَنْزَلَ. The one to whom worship is directed to has not revealed the Quran except with tajweed. So if you read the Quran without tajweed, you are not reading the Quran as it has been revealed. Yes. The one who reads the Quran and struggles to read it because that is just what he can do will still be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that should not be that is where he stops. Yes, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan. Today you have just accepted Islam. You have just spent a year or two in Islam. You are still struggling to read the Quran now. But you have spent 6-7 years in Islam. You were born in Islam 40 years. You are Muslim, and then you're still making bil-Qur'an, bil-Qira'ah, you're still struggling to pronounce huruf. This is a blameworthy thing. 40 years, 35 years, 20 years, 18 years upon Islam, you are still struggling to read Qur'an. This is not a good thing at all. It is not a good thing at all. This is not a praiseworthy thing at all for any Muslim. Not to be able to read the Quran with tajweed. Many of the scholars say that not to read the Quran with tajweed is an act of sin. Is an act of sin. Man la yujawwid al-Quran athimun. The one who does not recite the Quran with tajweed, athimun, is a sinful person. Because the Quran was revealed with tajweed. So why you read the Quran without tajweed? What are you reading? So every one of us, now in Ramadan, if you find an opportunity, and immediately after Ramadan, if that is when you can only get the opportunity, you must go and begin to learn tajweed. Otherwise, if you spend 15, 5, 10, 15, 20 years in Islam and you cannot recite the Quran with tajweed, it is a blameworthy thing for you. It's a blameworthy thing for you. So two things we must pay attention to in our tilawa. Our tilawa must be for the sake of Allah alone. You don't have anybody you want to impress with your tilawa. You don't have anything you want to receive from somebody because of your tilawa. You must be making tilawa to alfaz al-Quran because you want to please Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any rewards and nearness to him for that. The second thing we must pay attention to as far as the Quran is concerned in this Ramadan is that we all must make sure that we recite the Quran with tajweed. And like we explained, those who still struggle to read the Quran, yes, you should still struggle. But that is not for those who have the ability to learn and appropriately read the Quran, but because of their lackadaisical attitude and nonchalant attitude, they abandon that for other things. When these people read the Quran badly, it is not a praiseworthy thing at all. It is not a praiseworthy thing at all. Yes, people usually give excuse, that's the best I can do. It is not the best you can do. Because you have the ability to learn it, but you have refused to learn it. Al-Uzr ibn Jahli does not come in the matters that the individual has an opportunity and an ability to learn and know the right thing. But because of like a classical attitude, you have not known the right thing. Not to know the right thing and do the right thing in that circumstance is not a praiseworthy thing at all. In fact, it could count as from the acts of sin. Reading the Quran is one of the obligations of the deen, especially in the bulk of our worship. You read the Quran in Salah. So if you pay like a classical attitude to be able to read the Quran correctly, because you say you don't have time, the kind of statement you don't give when it comes to your work, when it comes to your ways of earning food and eating food, is your food eating more important than you properly learning the Quran? So place the Quran in its place. Now that you're in Ramadan, look for somebody to begin to teach you the basic rulings of the tajweed. Basic rulings. It will not take you 3-4 months to learn how to read the book of Allah correctly. 3 months, 4 months maximum. You perfect it. And then you can read the book of Allah. Read, read, only read. Qira'a. Qira'atul alfaz. Tilawatul alfaz. Just to be able to express what Allah has said. Don't pay a nonchalant attitude to this book, giving yourself excuse that after all, those who struggle to read the Quran will be also be rewarded. This is for those who don't have any other ability, like our parents, our grandparents. If you have an aged mother in 96 now, you have an aged mother in 95, 92, 85 and above, they can't read more than what they are doing. Yes, this is for them. But for you young person moving all around, sending messages on Facebook and WhatsApp, getting busy with things that do not concern you, and then you come in Ramadan, begin to struggle with the recitation of the Quran, this is not a praiseworthy dealing with the Quran at all. I think this will suffice for now regarding the first aspect of tilawatul Quran, tilawatul alfazil Quran, reading the Quran, listening to the Quran, paying attention to our muraja'a, parts of the Quran that we had forgotten. I think this will suffice, inshallah, regarding that. We beg Allah to make our recitation sincerely for himself, for his sake alone, and to make us from those who will appropriately read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other things that we could have said in this aspect, but I think this will suffice for the kind of time that we have in these kinds of classes. The second major aspect of paying attention to the Quran, and that is the biggest of them, because even those who succeed, I would say, to read the Quran, to make tilawa to alfaz al Quran, many of the people fail here. What is that? Tilawa to al-ma'ani. Tilawa to ma'ani al-Quran. Reading and following up to the meanings of the Quran. Pondering about the Quran. Contemplating about the Quran. Thinking about the message of the Quran, paying attention to the rulings, what's Allah telling us? If I say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before I start Surah Al-Fatiha, what am I talking about? What is the implication of that? If I say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, what does it mean? What is Rabbul Alam? Who is Rabbul Alam? What is Al Alami? Because he says all the praises belong to Rabbul Alam. So what is Rabbul Alam? Yes, it refers to Allah. But what does it mean to say that Allah is Rabbul Alam? What is the connection between Rabbul Alamin and Allah? He is Rabbul Alamin. He is Allah. And then why is it that he has said Rabbul Alamin after saying Alhamdulillah? All praise absolutely belong to him. And then he says, he is the Lord of Al-Alamin. What does it mean to say Al-Alamin? What is the meaning of Al-Alamin or Al-Alamun? As it is basically, it is in its rough form. So how do we think about the Quran? How do we ponder about the Quran? And this is another major reason for which the Quran was revealed. In Surah As-Sad, Allah told us about that when he mentioned the Quran. He said, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. Allah says, Kitabun, this Quran anzalnahu ilayk. This is one of the biggest things about the Quran. The Quran will tell you that I am from Allah. So the Quran, Allah says, Kitabun, this book Quran, anzalnahu ilayk. We are the ones, the pronoun of respect and authority. Allah says, we are the ones who sent it down to you, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam. But this book, Mubarakun, is a blessed book. Is a blessed book. This Quran is a blessed book. We sent it down to you, liyadabbaru ayatihi, so that the people can contemplate about the verses of the Quran, so that the people can think about the verses of the Quran, so that the people can pay due attention to the Quran, so that the people can follow up with the meaning of the Quran. Ulama refer to this as tilawatu ma'ani al-Quran. So when you read the Quran, you are following up the meaning of the Quran. It makes a meaning to you. Many times people wonder, why is it that a'imma in haram? And in other places too, they weep when they read the Quran, because they can make tilawatu ma'ani al-Quran, because they can follow up apart from just reading the first category. They can also follow up, what is it that Allah is saying? What are the implications of the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When in Surah Al-Bayyina, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu min ahli al-kitab, some of them are from the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. They disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They refer, they ascribe Allah to what he is not, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews and the Christians. Wal mushrikin, likewise the polytheists and the idolaters. What did he say? Fi nari jahannam. In the day of Qiyamah, they are going to end up in the fire. He says, khalidina fiha abada. They are going to be there forever. What did he say? He says, ulaika hum sharrul bariyah. These are actually and truly indeed, these are the worst of the creatures of Allah. How do you feel as a Muslim? The first benefit for you in that as a Muslim is that you are afraid of kufr. If this is the implication of being a kafir, may Allah protect us from kufr. So it makes you avoid kufr. It makes you consciously seek to learning tawheed and knowing tawheed. This is from the aspects of following the meanings of the Quran. So when it is read in Salah, when it is read in your tilawa, you have a feeling that, subhanallah, kufr is not something to do at all. You become so conscious of it. You would not like to exchange your tawheed for anything near kufr or shirk. Why? Allah refers to the kuffar and mushrikun as sharrul bariyah, the worst of the people you can find, the worst of animals you can find on the earth. They are the kuffar and mushrikun. You will gain these kinds of consciousness. You will gain this kind of consciousness. So when he says, khalidina fiha, these people will be in Jahannam. They will be in Jahannam forever. And then he says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. These are the worst of the creatures of Allah. So this makes us understand that it is very, very important for us to be able to follow the meaning of the Quran. Not just about making no. Reading the Quran, I've read 10 ajza, I've read 15 ajza, and all of this. Not just about that. How is your conscious following of the meanings, of the rulings, of the messages, of the stories, of the lessons of the Quran? How about that? This is from the aspects of tilawatul Quran. Ulama refer to it as tilawatu ma'anil Quran. Making the reading and following up with the meaning and the message of the Quran. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he is referred to as Shaykh al-Islam al-Thani because he's the student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he says, فَلَا شَيْءَ أَنْفَعُ لِلْقَلْبِ مِنْ كِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ وَتَفَكُّرِ لَا شَيْءَ أَنْفَعُ لِلْقَلْبِ. There is something, there is nothing more beneficial to the human mind. There is nothing more beneficial to the mind. مِنْ كِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ وَالتَّفَكُّرِ. There is nothing more beneficial to the mind like reciting the Quran بِالتَّدَبُّر, with pondering over the meanings of the Quran, وَالتَّفَكُّر, and thinking deeply about the meanings of the Quran. He says, فَإِنَّهُ جَامِعٌ لِجَمِيعِ مَنَازِلِ السَّائِرِ. Because this Quran, it encompasses جَمِيعِ مَنَازِلِ السَّائِرِ. It has something to do with all the levels of those who are upon a journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَحْوَالِ الْعَامِلِ. And the various circumstances that the people who are thoroughly involved in good deeds, all your circumstances. You want to do good deeds in any circumstance you are, the Quran has a suggestion for you. The Quran has a guide for you. The Quran will tell you what to do as a person who wants to get involved with a lot of good deeds. وَمَقَامَاتِ الْعَارِفِينَ. Likewise, the various bus stops, so to say, the various stoppage points of those who want to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and direct all their attention to him, the Quran has guidance for them. وَهُوَ يُورِثُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. When you read the Quran with a lot of tadabbur, with a lot of tafakkur, يُورِثُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. It will live with you. You will gain from it the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والشوق. Your mind will become connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والخوف. You will become so fearful and afraid of Allah. This is what the Quran did in the lives of the companions. Because they paid attention to the Quran in terms of what? At-tadabbur and what? At-tafakkur. They contemplated the Quran. They reasoned with the Quran. They talked about the Quran and its message. Once Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, al-Imam al-Tirmizi mentioned that in his Shamay, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam having some gray hair. He said to him, Tashayyabta ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, you have grown gray hairs. He says, Shayyabatni Hudun wa akhwatuha. Surah to Hud and its sisters made me grow gray hairs. Surah to Hud and the surahs that have the kind of meanings of what you have in Surah to Hud made me grow gray hairs. So the Messenger himself, he has khawf of Allah. Because in this surah, Allah was employed first to him, kama umirta, wa man taba ma'ak, wa la tasghaw, innahu bima ta'maluna basir, wa la tarkanu ila allazina zalamu, fatamassakumu na. He was telling the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tarkanu ila allazina zalamu. Do not depend on or rely on allazina zalamu, evildoers, wrongdoers. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. If you do that, I will burn you with the fire. وَأَكِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَهَا. And so on. The message in Surah Hud was tough. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gained, and for all of us too, because the message is for all of us. And in fact, it is said that amongst the Salafu Saleh, amongst the early Muslims, the companions and those after them, there was not any one of them who would recite Surah to Hud and not weep. In fact, one of them said that amongst them, it used to be counted that the one who would recite Surah to Hud and not weep is perhaps from amongst the Munafiqun. Iman has not gotten into his heart. Otherwise, if he recites Surah to Hud, and he knows what Allah is talking about there, he becomes fearful of Allah, that the limits of Allah must not be trespassed so that the individual does not gain Allah's punishment. So when the individual recites the Quran with tafakkur and tadabbur, yurisul khawf. Doing this, the Quran makes him gain fearing Allah, wal raja. The Quran makes him gain hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal inaba. The Quran makes him gain regularly returning to Allah when he falls short. What tawakkul. The Quran makes him gain relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rida. The Quran makes him gain being pleased with what Allah brings to him. If Allah brings a lot to him, he's pleased. When Allah gives him a little, he's pleased with it. We will gain this when he becomes consciously and attentively reciting in his qira'ah of the Quran. Wa tafweed. He will find it easy to repose his confidence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the entirety of his affairs. Wa shukr. He will have a mind of thankfulness, gratefulness, when he reads the Quran with tadabbur. Wa sabr. He will also gain sabr, patience, and steadfastness upon goodness when he recites the Quran with at-tadabbur. Wa sa'ir al-ahwal. Allati biha hayatul qalbi wa kamaluhu. Likewise, other aspects of life. Allati biha hayatul qalbi. Those aspects of life by which our minds find life. Wa kamaluhu and perfection. Wa kazalika yasjuru an jami'i sifati wal af'ali al mazmuma. Likewise, reciting the Quran with tadabbur, it earns the person the ability to move away from jami' sifati wal af'al al mazmuma, all kinds of attributes and traits and actions that are blameworthy. Reciting the Quran with a lot of tadabbur and thinking over it will make you avoid all these things. Allati biha fasadul qalbi wa halakuhu. And in these evil actions and traits, they are the things that destroy the heart. But when you recite the Quran, you pay attention to the meaning of the Quran, you pay attention to the lessons of the Quran, you gain avoidance. I can't come near these things. Because of the kind of consciousness that Allah will place in your mind as a result of reading the Quran with good contemplation and attention. He said, Rahimahullah, فَلَوْ عَلِمَ النَّاسُ مَا فِي كِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ. If the people were to know the great virtue and blessings and excellence that is contained in reciting the Quran with a lot of consciousness and contemplation, لَشْتَغَلُوا بِهَا عَنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَاهَا. لَشْتَغَلُوا بِهَا عَنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَاهَا. They would have gotten themselves busy with reciting the Quran with consciousness, away from every other thing apart from it. فَإِذَا قَرَأَهُ بِتَفَكُّرٍ. So when the individual reads the Quran with contemplation and deep thought, حَتَّى إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ وَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَيْهَا فِي شِفَاءِ قَلْبِهِ كَرَّرَهَا. When he begins to recite the Quran with good contemplation, such that when he passes by a verse of the Quran, he reads a verse of the Quran, وَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَيْهَا فِي شِفَاءِ قَلْبِهِ كَرَّرَهَا. And he needs that verse regarding a matter in which he had problems in his mind. كَرَّرَهَا. He begins to repeat that verse. He begins to repeat the verse. Imagine someone who has issues with as-sabr. He begins to recite it when Allah says, wasbiru, inna Allah ma'asabir. Wasbiru, wal-asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa al-lazina amanu, wa amilu s-salihat, wa tawasaw bil-haqqi, wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Especially when he faces hardship upon da'wah, he begins to repeat, wa tawasaw bil-haqqi, wa tawasaw bil-sabri, wa tawasaw bil-haqqi, وتواصوا بالصبر. This kind of a thing implants this character inside the mind because he's following up the meaning of that. Likewise, other stories in the Quran that highlight the sabr of an individual, like the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. There's no time you read this story except that you have a feeling of being patient over difficulty that Allah brings, being patient over evil treatment from relatives, being patient over sin. That's a sin. And you want to be patient, steadfast, not to fall into the sin. This was in the story of Yusuf. Being patient not to be vengeful. Yes, someone has hurt you. You don't need to pay him back with vengeance. We learn all of these. So when a person has issues with these kinds of things and he reads these places in the Quran, he repeats it by way of making sure that the lessons in that come to his mind. Well, he will only achieve that إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَتَلَى الْقُرْآنَ بِمَذَا بِالتَّدَبُّرِ وَالتَّفَكُّرِ. So كَرَّرَهَا, he begins to repeat it, وَلَوْ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ, even if it be 100 times he's repeating the Quran, وَلَوْ لَيْلَى, even if that means the entirety of his Qiyamul Layl, what he's going to be doing is repeating just a single verse. And we know this kind of a practice with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It occurs in the hadith that on a night he recited just one verse of the Quran, and he was repeating just that single verse till he stopped his Qiyamul Layl and went for Salatul Fajr. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, فَقِرَاءَةُ آيَةٍ بِتَفَكُّرٍ وَتَفَهُّمٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءَةِ خَتْمَةٍ بِغَيْرِ تَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَهُّمٍ. Ibn Al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, فَقِرَاءَةُ آيَةٍ بِتَفَكُّرٍ وَتَفَهُّمٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءَةِ خَتْمَةٍ بِغَيْرِ تَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَهُّمٍ. Reading the Quran, one single verse, بِتَفَكُّرٍ وَتَفَهُّمٍ, while thinking about the meaning of the Quran and seeking to understand the rulings and the message of that part of the Quran. It says, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءَةِ خَتْمَةٍ. It is better than the individual reciting the entire Quran. Read one verse to understand the meaning of the Quran, to understand the lessons of the Quran, to understand the message of that part of the Quran, and imbibe those lessons and messages. He says, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءَةِ خَتْمَةٍ, is better than reciting the entirety of the Quran. بِغَيْرِ تَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَقُّمٍ. When the individual is a person, لَا يَتَدَبَّرُ الْقُرْآنُ وَلَا يَفْحَمُ الْقُرْآنُ, he will not contemplate the Quran. He will not think about the Quran. He has the ability, but he does not pay attention to that. All he wants is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Ali. And he goes on like that without contemplation. The Imam says, Rahimahullah, فَقِرَاءَةُ آيَةٍ بِتَفَكُّرٍ, reciting the Quran with paying attention to the lessons and thinking about the lessons of the Quran, وَتَفَهُّمٍ, and seeking to know the meanings of the Quran, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءَةِ خَتْمَةٍ, it is better than reciting the entirety of the Quran, بِغَيْرِ تَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَهُّمٍ. This is the statement of Al-Hafiz Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And he said, rahimahullah, وَأَنْفَعُ لِلْقَلْبِ, this is also more beneficial to our hearts. وَأَدْعَى إِلَى حُصُولِ الْإِيمَانِ, it is also most inviting to the persons attaining iman. When you want to attain iman, follow the Quran with this approach. وَذَوْكِ حَلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ, it also invites you to tasting the sweetness of reading the Quran. وَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, that is the truth. When you recite the Quran and pay attention to the meaning of the Quran, you taste the sweetness of the Quran. You taste the sweetness of the Quran. And then he went on and said, فَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّفَكُّرِ هِيَ أَصْلُ صَلَاحِ الْقَلْبِ. He says, فَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّفَكُّرِ هِيَ أَصْلُ صَلَاحِ الْقَلْبِ. Reading the Quran with tafakkur, pondering about the messages of the Quran, he said, هِيَ أَصْلُ صَلَاحِ الْقَلْبِ, is the foundation of purifying the heart. But that recitation is not tilawatu alfaz alone. It is tilawatu ma'ani al-Qur'an, reading and following the meaning of the Qur'an. Many of the people, when you tell them, read the Quran to get the message, they think they're just about reading it. The way we read, just tilawa, just go on. No, it is tilawa with paying good attention. It makes it so, so, so functional in the mind. You find a lot of things with it. I remember one of our brothers that Allah blesses with making seeking cure for himself with the Quran. He will be sick. He will just begin to listen to the Quran and he will stand up from his illness just by way of contemplating the meaning of the Quran. I've seen this brother, it happened many times with him. Many times with him. What brings him cure is listening to the Quran. Because he pays in on the sick bed, you see him weeping about the Quran. He's sick. He's still weeping when he listens to the Quran. And by that, Allah brings him up away from his illness. I have seen this happening to him many times. The Quran is the means of his healing. Allah makes it a means of healing for him. And this is what the Quran is. So it is so, so important to pay attention to the meanings of the Quran. This is the lesson in this point number two, tilawatu ma'anil Quran, reading and following up the meaning of the Quran. That is what the companions were doing when in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah was telling us about the companions. It says, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَنِ. That's in Maryam. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُقِيًا. When the signs, the Quran is read to the people, the verse of Allah, the verses of Allah al-Rahman is read to them, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا. They go on their faces in prostration. And then in their prostration, they begin to weep. It is mentioned of Umar radiallahu anhu that when he reads the Quran, he cries. So much that the person in the last row will be hearing the voice when he cries about reciting the Quran. Why? Because they have tilawatu ma'ani al-Quran. Because they are able to follow up with the meanings of the Quran. So when Allah is angry with the people, they know, subhanallah, they are afraid of that. When Allah is pleased with the people, they know, they are afraid of, they are pleased with that. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the things that was described with his Qiyamul Layl is that when he passes by a verse of azab, he seeks protection from Allah. When he passes by a verse of mercy and rahmah, he asks for Allah's mercy and rahmah. This will not be possible if the mind is absent from the meanings of the Quran. And that was why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu Abu Abdurrahman, he advised a group of people radiyallahu anhu. He says, la tahuzuhu hadha ash-shi'r, la tahuzuhu, yani la tahuzu al-Quran hadha ash-shi'r. Do not read the Quran with the speed as you read poems. Don't la tahuzu al-Quran. Do not recite the Quran. Hadha ash-shi'r. The way you recite poems with the speed and that kind of following them, don't read the Quran like that. He said, radiallahu anhu, qifu 'inda ajaib. Stop when you find astonishing, wonderful messages in the Quran. Stop. Think about that wonder that Allah is telling you about. Wa harriku bihi al-qulub. Shake your minds with the Quran. وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ آخِرَ السُّورَةِ وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ آخِرَ السُّورَةِ وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ آخِرَ السُّورَةِ. Let it not be the overall interest of each of you is how do I get to the end of the chapter. Don't read the Quran so that my interest is how do I get to the end of the chapter. And that's what we do. In Ramadan, when we recite Quran, we recite Surah Al-Baqarah, we recite Surah Al-Nisa. We are just ma tatlu shayatin ala mulki Sulaiman. This is where you are. You are already checking when you are going to end the chapter. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, don't read the Quran like this. Wa la yakun hammu ahadikum akhira surah. Let it not be the interest, the overall interest of each of you is how and when do I get to the end of the surah. There is a similar report from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abi Jamra or Abu Jamra, one of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud ibn Abbas, this time Abu al-Abbas al-Qurashi, radiyallahu anhuma, he said, Qultu li ibn Abbas, I said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, the first asar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that we have read, it occurs in the tafsir of al-Imam al-Baghawi. Likewise, al-Imam al-Jurri mentions it in his book, Akhlaqu Hamalat al-Qur'an. Akhlaqu Hamalat al-Qur'an. This asar by Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Jamra asked him, Qultu li ibn Abbas, I said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, Inni sari'ul qira'a, I am a fast reader of the Quran. This is what many of us brag about. I'm a fast reader of the Quran. Wa inni aqra'ul Qur'ana fi thalathin, and I can read the Quran in 3 days. That will not be with tadabbur for many of us. The early Muslims used to do that. The likes of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, it was said that they completed Quran every night of Ramadan. And others amongst the early Muslims, their attention to the Quran goes beyond saying that they are thinking about the verses. As they read, they think about the verses. Their mind is conditioned to do that because they are used to that every time and every moment. And because of their huge knowledge. So as they pass by the Quran, they pass by everything together. They make the tilawa, they make the tajweed, they also follow up the ma'ani, the meanings of the Quran. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah was the one who was looking for the dalil for ijba. What is it in the Quran that proves that the consensus of the scholars is proof in this ummah? Is there should be a pointer in the Quran to that. There is a pointer in the Quran to the sunnah's evidence. It says, Ati'u Allah wa Ati'u Rasul. This is evidence that the sunnah is from the sources of the sharia. Is there evidence in the Quran that ijma, consensus, is also evidence? Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah was looking for the evidence for that in the Quran. He was said to have recited the Quran 100 times, searching for what is it in the Quran that points to ijma as a means of giving evidence, consensus. And then he found that verse in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. There is no doubt that such readings, 100 times, is a reading of contemplation and attention. So you find this kind of a thing amongst the early Muslims. They can read the Quran once a day. Uthman ibn Affan was known to finish the Quran once a day because their mind is connected to the message and the meanings of the Quran and the readings of the Quran. So as they read, everything comes along. But not that with us. Most of us are not like this, if not all of us. So we need to pay more attention to the Quran. But even amongst the early Muslims, let us hear what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to Abu Jamra. So when he says, Inni akra'ul Qur'ana fi salaf, I can finish the Quran in 3 days. فَقَالَ Ibn Abbas said, رضي الله عنهما, لِأَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْبَقْرَةَ فِي لَيْلَةٍ فَأَدَّبَّرَهَا, that I read Surah Al-Baqarah فِي لَيْلَةٍ, in one single day, فَأَدَّبَّرَهَا. You can see what he says. Can we read Surah Al-Baqarah in one single day with full contemplation? We pay attention to a lot of things. We may even need to be going back to the books of Tafsir to understand some other things. We are coming back to that so briefly, inshallah. He says, لِأَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ لِأَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْبَقْرَةِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ فَأَدَّبَّرَهَا وَأُرَتِّلَهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ كَمَا تَقُولِ, that I read Surah Al-Baqarah in an entire night, I'm thinking about the meanings, the implications of the verses, the message, the lessons in it, is better, is more beloved to me than that I should read the entirety of the Quran in the way he said. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, still preferred to read the Quran with tadabbur. So this is the manner of reading the Quran. This is the manner of reading the Quran. But many of the times, did Allah not blame those who read the Quran and not ponder about it? He did not say أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. It occurs twice in the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not think about the Quran? if it were from other than Allah, it would have contained inconsistencies. How do you know that it is not containing inconsistencies when you don't pay attention to the meaning of the Quran? When you don't pay attention to the lessons of the Quran, to the rulings of the Quran, to the ahkam of the Quran? How do you know that this Quran is in harmony with itself? You wouldn't know. If it's just all about, oh, I finished 20 portions, oh, I finished 30 portions, I have started again. Let it not be just all about that. Let it not be just all about that. And Imam Suyuti, rahimahullah, and I will stop with his statement, rahimahullah. He says, وَتَدَبُّرُ الْكَلَامِ بِدُونِ فَهْمِ مَعَانِيهِ لَا يُمْكِنُ تَدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ. Even thinking about the meaning of the Quran, it will not be possible if you don't know the meaning. وَأَيْضًا فَالْعَادَةُ تَمْنَعُ أَنْ يَقْرَأَ قَوْمٌ كِتَابًا فِي فَنٍ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ كالطب والحساب ولا يستشرحونه. It is not from the custom of the people to read a book of medicine or read a book of mathematics and then they do not seek someone to explain to them. That is not the order. That is not the custom of the people. فَكَيْفَ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ عِصْمَتُهُ. How about the book of Allah, which is the means of protection for them? وَبِهِ نَجَاتُهُمْ. And by it, their salvation is guaranteed. وَسَعَادَتُهُمْ. And their joy and success in this world and the hereafter. وَكِيَامُ دِينِهِمْ وَدِينِيَاهُمْ. And the establishment, sound establishment of the matters of their dunya and akhirah is based on the Quran. So we must learn the Quran. This aspect of reading the Quran with tadabbur, it will not be possible at all if we don't learn the Quran. So I encourage all of us, we must begin to pay attention. After talking about tajweed, we must begin to pay attention to learning the meanings of the Quran. And I usually say this, the scholars mentioned it's one of the ways to know how to learn, how to understand the Quran is learning Arabic itself. There's hardly any Salafi who will tell you about Salafiya. The lectures will end in Ikhwa, let's go and start learning. Let's go to Madaris. They say, oh, you Salafis, you don't know more than Madrasa. Yes, because in Madrasa, we will perfect your Quran and the basics for your deen. So we learn Arabic, we learn Tajweed in the Madaris. We pay good attention to them because by them, our deen will be better established. We read the Quran, we understand what the Quran means. From that also, if after even a person now knows Arabic, is consulting the books of Tafsir. Consulting the books of Tafsir. What I always say to the people, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. If you cannot achieve all of everything, you can achieve a part of it. If you as an individual cannot go to Tafsir ibn Kathir to read in Arabic, you can look for Tafsir ibn Kathir in English if it's available. So that you don't lose it all. As you learn your Arabic, you also be knowing the meaning of the Quran, and then you don't lose it all. Now, there are two major books of Tafsir that are in English that are common. There is a Tafsir of Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'idi. It's in English. It is published by IIPH. There's also the Tafsir of Quran, Tafsir ibn Kathir. It's in English. It is published by Darussalam. Each of them is in 10 volumes. Buy these kinds of books and place them in your house. Let your children read and understand what they read about the Quran until they become people who perfect Arabic and then they'll be able to access the sources in Arabic. Just like the books of Hadith too. Sahih al-Bukhari is in English. Good translation, easy to understand with notes. Sahih Muslim is in English. Good translation, easy to understand with notes. Likewise, the four books of Sunan. So if we have tafsir, books of tafsir in English, we have books of Sunnah in English, what excuse do you have not to learn Islam, not to read about it, and be a person who consciously understands his religion or her religion? The third aspect of tilawa that the Sheikh mentioned with which we started is tilawa tul amal, following up the Quran with your good deeds. The second one is not possible until you perfect the first one. If you cannot read the Quran correctly, it will be difficult for you to read it and contemplate about it. If you cannot read the Quran with good contemplation, it will be difficult for you to be acting upon the injunctions of the Quran. And you need the three of them. They are all obligations you have regarding the Quran. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Bi-idhnillah, our intention is that tomorrow we are going to start to explain Suratul Fatiha. We will explain Suratul Fatiha in this class tomorrow, bi-idhnillah. And subsequently, we will not start from Al-Baqarah. Al-Baqarah is big. The lessons in it are big. The surah is long. Many of the people don't have the mind to be able to patiently follow it and be able to. And then how many people lead the salah and regularly recite Surah Al-Baqarah? So we go to Surah Al-Duha, the surahs that the people come across easily in their day-to-day existence. We go to Surah Al-Duha and then the next surah and then until we get to Surah Al-Nas. When we finish from that, inshallah, we'll come to perhaps Al-A'la and come back to Duha, or we go to Al-Naba. We begin to hold it little by little. Verses and surahs that we recite regularly, what do they mean? If you can't recite Al-Baqarah in your mind, and you recite Al-Baqarah, this is a big surah. How about Surah Al-Duha? What does it mean? You recite Duha, your imam recites it. What does it mean? What does Allah tell us in Duha? Tunas, Surah Tunas. What's Allah telling us in it? Wattini wa zaytun. What is it about? Waturi sinin. Wahada al-balad al-amin. Apart from Surah Al-Qadr that is usually read and interpreted in Ramadan from these short surahs, many of us don't know any other thing about the surahs of the Quran, and it is not proper. We read them every day and we don't know about them. How is that? This is not a good thing at all. So bi-idhnillah, our own attention will be to learn it from the easiest of them. Bi-idhnillah, we start to Surah Al-Fatiha tomorrow, and in our subsequent classes until Ramadan ends, we'll be reading from Surah Al-Duha, and then the next surah, and then the next surah until we get to wherever Allah wills that we get to. From observation, we have 10 classes in this month of Ramadan in this class, because we'll be having 5 weekends in Ramadan. This is the first weekend in Ramadan. There are 4 other weekends in Ramadan. So for 5 weekends, it means we have 10 classes. This is the first introductory class today. We hope that bi-idhnillah tomorrow we can take a single class to explain Surah Al-Fatiha. We read it every day. We must know what it means. May Allah make it easy for us to understand and follow up the Quran in our tilawa, in our contemplations, and then in our deeds and actions, and forgive our shortcomings. I think we can take the few questions we have today. So a brother sent a message that we should take the Tafsir Quran every day. It may not be convenient for everybody. Otherwise, it is something that is worth giving attention to. We make this class about reciting the Quran and explaining the meaning of the Quran. Of course, depending on the books of Tafsir and the explanations of the scholars of the Ummah, in our explanations, it would have been very good if we can do that every day of Ramadan. But like I always say, ma la yudraku kulluhu, la yudraku kulluhu. If we can get all of everything, whatever little we get, 10 weekends would mean a third of Ramadan. 10 weekends will mean a third of Ramadan. I mean, 10 days in Ramadan will mean a third of Ramadan. And I hope that perhaps after this class in Ramadan, I sincerely think that we can pick a day in a week, just like we read Adab al-Mufrad on 2 days, we can pick at least a day for Quran itself. Our attention to the Quran is not too good at all. May Allah forgive all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We can take a few questions, inshallah. Abu Yusuf.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Shaykhana. Ahsanullahi alaikum, ya Shaykhana. This one says, please tell us other sisters of Surah Al-Hud that we may reap benefits as the Prophet.
Alayhi salatu wassalam. None of them is coming to my mind now except Surah Al-Naba. None of them is coming to my mind now except Surah Al-Naba. But 2 other surahs or 3 other surahs have been mentioned, but they have the meaning of what is named Surah Al-Hud. If you go to Surah Al-Hud, there are parts of the message of Surah Al-Hud almost exactly in Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf has almost all the stories, because in Hud, Allah mentioned the communities that he sent messengers to, how they disobeyed Allah and how Allah punished them. That's the message of Hud. The people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers to, how the people rejected the messages of those messengers, how those messengers persuaded their people to accept the message and still they rejected, and then they were punished for it. So this is the basic message in Surah Al-Hud from the beginning. If you read the first verse of Surah Al-Hud after Alif Lam Ra, you be Alif Lam Ra, كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير. Look at this verse. كتاب. This is a book. فصلت أحكمت آياته. Its verses are clear. The rulings in the verses of the Quran are clear. ثم فصلت. Despite the fact that they are clear, Allah makes it explained. من لدن حكيم خبير. From the one who is all wise and all knowing. What is that? Allah ta'budu illa Allah. Nobody should worship anything apart from Allah. And then he continues like that. The verses in Surah Hud, they are tough verses. They are very, very tough. It's in Hud that Allah was telling us about Nuh and his son. The son was begging Allah, Nuh was begging Allah, Rabbi inna ibni min ahli, wa inna wa'adaka al-haq, wa anta ahkamul hakim. He told me, don't tell, don't ask me, innahu laysa, innahu amalun ghayru salih. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ. Look at this kind of a response from Allah to Nuh. Don't ask me about your son. He was not a pious person. Don't ask me this question so that you don't come amongst the ignorant people. Allah said that to Nuh in Surah Hud. So every surah with the kind of meanings in this surah are the form, the sisters of, this is the meaning about Akhwatuha, that the people gave to that statement of the Prophet Muhammad. I remember Surah An-Naba. Surah An-Naba also has this. It talks about the people of Taqwa and the people of Kufr. The reward for the people of Taqwa and the punishment for the people of Kufr. Likewise, Surah Al-Insan. It has a reward for the people of goodness and a reward for the people of punishment. Clear cut. So there are verses like this and surahs like this. The Prophet said, they are the ones that caused me to grow gray hairs. Surah Hud wa Akhwatuha. Surah Hud and other surahs in its meaning. Allahu A'lam. Naam Aba Yusuf. Amin wa Antum.
This one says, is it permissible to follow the Imam with translated Quran during Tarawih so
no,
as to ponder on the meaning?
It is not. It is not. It is not. Listing, there are commands for Qira'ah when we're in Salah is to listen. Listen to what the Imam is saying. Pay attention. Just be hearing. If you don't hear other than that, he is reading the Quran correctly. It suffices for you. He does not say read. He says listen. And Allah has not given you two minds. You can't say you are listening when you are also reading. If he's reading Arabic and you are reading English, the English you are reading is not the Quran. And it is reading, you are not listening. And what he told us in the hadith of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim is that وَإِذَا قَرَأَ فَأَنْصِتُ. When the Imam reads, be silent, listen to him. It's insult to listima. This insult is the quietness of listening to what the Imam is reading behind him when he reads the Quran. So don't do that. Pay that attention when you are making tilawa. When you are making tilawa, pay that attention. Now, Mother Yusuf.
What is the evidence of reciting the Quran verse by verse and not connecting more than one together?
Well, that occurs in the hadith of Umm Salama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm Salama, if I remember the hadith occurs in Sunan al-Darqutni. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqra'u al-Quran wa yaqulu bismillahir rahmanir rahim ayatan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ayata. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Ayata. That is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who read the Quran. He will say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He will stop there. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He will stop there. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He will stop there. That's what she said, radiyallahu anhu, about the messenger's manner of reciting the Quran and stopping by the head of the verses. Except when the messages of the verses are connected. Sometimes the messages in one verse goes into the second verse. The scholars say that we can go on to the next verse and connect them because their message continues into the second verse. I hope that is clear. The evidence as you ask for is the hadith of Umm Salama that comes to mind now. It's called in Sunan Darqutni, and it's an authentic hadith. Sheikh Al-Albani spoke about it in Irwa al-Galid and he authenticated it.
Can one pause on the Quran on Fardu Salah to seek Allah's Rahman and refuge from his anger?
What?
Can we pause? Can we pause while on Fardu's Salah? Can we pause?
No,
to...
you cannot pause. If the Salah is compulsory Salah, you can't pause, as we mentioned for Qiyamul Layl. The evidence for pausing and asking for Allah's blessings occur, or seeking refuge from Allah's anger occur for Qiyamul Layl, specifically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the obligatory Salah, we are asked to recite the Quran, recite Al-Fatiha, recite other surahs. We are not encouraged. In fact, even other non-obligatory prayers, we will not do this. This is only recorded for Qiyamul Layl, and that is the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Naam.
This one says, what are the best tajweed books in English?
Well, there is the Rules of Tajweed that occurs in 3 volumes in English. Very good. It's in English. Very good. There are other smaller books of tajweed in English that I know. Of course, the bulk of the ones that one will quickly remember is in Arabic. But the simplest of them, in Arabic, you can learn within 2 months, is Tuhfatul Atfal. The author called it a gift for children. So you can imagine how he has expressed it. The language is simple, easy to understand. And he paid attention to the most basic things you would like to learn in tajweed. Very, very simple and easy. And it occurs in poetic stanzas. Tuhfatu al-Atfal by al-Imam Naam Sulaiman ibn Hussein al-Jamzuri. It's a very, very, very common book. Sulaiman ibn Hussein al-Jamzuri is the author of Tuhfatu al-Atfal. Very easy book to read and learn for tajweed. I recommend it. So if you find any other good tajweed book in English, you can make use of it too. What's important is that you are able to read the Quran with tajweed. I always say this. Some people say, oh, why you read it in English, Mr. Brother? If with English, I know a brother whose Arabic is very, very sound today. Very good at Arabic. Very good at Arabic. Spoken Arabic, written Arabic. Everything concerning that in Arabic, he's very, very good at it. And he's read the big books of Islam. He learned Arabic from English. From an English book, he learned it by himself. So if that is what he can do, and now he has arrived, he can talk to you for 10 hours speaking Arabic, pure clean Arabic. He will not even be saying Yani, anything. He will not say Yani. He will go on speaking as we speak English like this. And he learned it from an English book. I knew when he started. So it's not about how did you... Yes, the best thing is to follow the procedure that the ulama have laid down. But if that is difficult for you, and you can attain that knowledge itself, attain it. And let it be useful for you. But the best is go to someone who knows the language to teach you the language, especially Arabic. May Allah protect all of us. Naam.
This one says, when I was young, I don't know, I would need to repair my meat fast during Hajj. So my question is, do I need to repair all fast I missed while I was young?
If you can calculate them, yes. If you can calculate them, yes. Amin one to Maba Yusuf.
This one says, can the Imam leading us in Taraweeh hold the Quran and recite from it?
Can the Imam leading us in Taraweeh hold the Quran and recite it? Some of the scholars said it is correct. There is the Asar of the slave person of Aisha. He used to hold the Quran to lead the Salah in Qiyamul Layl. But others amongst the scholars say no. Amongst the early Muslims too. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, he mentioned that in his book, Qiyamul Layl. He mentioned that in his book, Qiyam Ramadan. He mentioned the Athar also from the early Muslims. One of the early Muslims, Al-Imam al-Zuhri, he said, we don't know this except from the ways of the Christians. The Christians who hold a book when they worship, And that I'm sure will be referring to the Catholics and Anglicans. You know, when they worship, they have the hymns they hold. He said, when you do that with the Quran, you are behaving like them. In this Ummah is not known with that. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was alive. We don't know him to hold copies. Likewise, the companions. And what he told us about Qiyamul Layl is that faqra'u ma tayassara minhu. That is, observe the number of raka'at that you can observe of it. But that also goes to say that as far as reading the Quran is concerned, read what is easy for you. Do what is easy for you. So if you can't recite, that's why the one who should lead us in the Quran, Salah, not just Taraweeh, is Aqra'una li kitabillah. The one who is better. I always say this, there's an imam who, when he leads the Salah, he makes mistakes and he is corrected and he can't even get corrected. You understand what I mean? Someone makes a mistake, he is corrected. He can't even take the correction, as bad as his recitation is, and he likes to be the imam. So many times the Salah becomes like a hobnob, take and give. So I always tell him, you punish yourself for making yourself be an imam. You punish yourself because you are doing something that is beyond you. This is behind you, almost 6 or 7 hufaz of the Quran. Behind you, you go in front of them to lead the Salah. And you hardly read the Quran well. You are punishing yourself. Those who should lead the Salah are the best of the people in their recitals. So this will not make them say they want to carry the Quran on their hands to recite. So the least thing that you can avoid this. Go and learn the Quran and know the Quran. One of the scholars say one of the things that thing will do to us is when you recite the Quran, holding the Quran in Qiyamul Layl, it will not make you go and memorize the Quran. But when you know that, hey, I have to read the Quran in my mind, it will encourage you to learn the Quran, to memorize the Quran, to revise the Quran and observe Qiyamul Layl with it. So, but if I find someone doing that, I will not blame the person. But I will not do it. If I find someone doing that, I will not blame him, but I will not do it. So a better thing is not to carry the Quran on the hand when we recite the Quran in Qiyamul Layl and in Nawafil. Memorize the Quran. You can even be repeating. We heard in this class, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam can recite one verse and be repeating it. So if it is just Suratul Ikhlas that you know, you can be repeating it. That is a sunnah you are sure of. The Prophet can repeat a verse. Okay, I can repeat a surah. You can be repeating Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falak, Suratul Nas. When you finish, you go back again. Ikhlas, Falak, Nas. When you finish, you go back again. If it is Al-A'la to Nas that you know, recite Al-A'la to Nas. When you finish at Nas and you still desire to go back to it again, you can start from Al-A'la again in a single rak'ah. That's better for you. You know that you are upon the sunnah, but to pick up a copy of the Quran and look at it during Qiyamul Layl, it's something that will be bringing you backwards. And like one of the Muslims said, early Muslims said, specifically Al-Imam al-Zuhri and others, that it appears like the way of worship of the non-Muslims. So it's a better thing to avoid. And Allah knows best. Allahu A'lam. I think the next question should be the last one for today, inshallah. Amin wa antum.
What is the ruling of a menstruating woman attending the masjid, reading the Quran, and even performing itikaf in Ramadan?
There is no blame in all of that. There is no blame. A woman who is menstruating can stay in the Quran, in the masjid. A woman who is menstruating can read the Quran. A woman who is menstruating can stay in the masjid in itikaf. Allahu Akbar. Amin once. We can stop here, Abba Yusuf. Bismillah, tomorrow we start trying to explain Surah Al-Fatiha. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.